Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a physician develop a passion for the healing of people groups and nations? Dr. Robert Doe served as a family physician and emergency room physician. He established a network of care for medical assistance patients in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He also worked as a county prison medical director. Recently, he's been involved in medical missions while working with the Kurdish regional government in Iraq, creating a new model of care in that region. Speaking of care, speaking of health, health care, speaking of well-being, your well-being, our well-being, does God care about those things? Well, of course he does. And he cares about you very deeply. So much so that he cares for your soul, my friend, your spiritual condition and relationship. He wants relationship with you. He loves you so much, dear friend. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been or what you've done, Dr. Doe and I are here to remind you that God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to himself to bring you hope that is found in him. A unique hope, a hope that comes with peace, a hope that comes with a resurrection power. And it's our prayer that you would turn your heart to Jesus and open your heart and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Dr. Robert Doe graduated from Dartmouth College and Medical School. He's married to Sylvia. They have 4 daughters and 6 grandchildren. Dr. Doe, welcome to our show.
Great. It's an honor to be with you today.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Connecticut and then in the high school years near Philadelphia, then back to New England for college, and after medical school back to Pennsylvania until God brought me here to Hawaii these last 4 years.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Obviously, it's always parents first. My mother in particular was a woman of creativity and encouraged that in me. But also later, it was through the Boy Scouts and Explorers, and a gentleman that was an electrical engineer that really stirred the passion within me for the sciences that eventually ended up being medical school direction.
So, what was it at an early age that you felt a calling or a desire to be a physician?
It's more in college years. I actually was a product of the space race years in the 1960s, and my passion actually in those days was to be an aerospace engineer. So I went to Dartmouth believing that's what would happen, and determined after a short time that there was more to life than math and science and needed something that would allow science to be blended together with caring for people. So God caused me to then explore the medical field and went back and forth quite a few years, even right up until the very year that I applied for medical school. I was still wondering if that was the best calling for me. In those years, I hadn't yet met Jesus, so these were decisions and feelings that were coming from myself. Obviously, now retrospectively, he was leading even in those times.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian?
Throughout my career, I was working in the emergency field. In the early 90s is when that sudden urge to do something that left a legacy or made a difference in the world. I had a really good life up till then, prosperous and successful in my career. And so I just began to think of things that could be helpful. And the first one that came to mind was, how can we make a better health system in America? That was in the early years of the Clintons and others who were looking at health reform. So I grabbed that idea, organized a lot of leaders from our county, hospital presidents and labor unions, pastors, political people, all kinds of people came together. And out of that was created the willingness to actually attempt a unique project there for the poor, which we put together. And in the middle of that successful journey, it had brought me into obviously a political connection, and a lot of political things were happening around me and getting involved in that, even to the point of helping the governor at that time be elected and being offered Secretary of Health for that state. But in the middle of it all is when the Lord spoke to me in a very open way, by myself, no one around, just simply saying, are you sure this is the right path for your life? And from that moment, it stirred a passion to go seek out his word. And various mentors started coming into my life at that time. And that would have been 92. And it was about age 36 or so that that happened. Prior to that, I could have basically been an agnostic. I didn't really pay much attention to religious things.
So take us further. The Lord spoke to you. How did the Lord draw you into a deeper commitment, and how life-changing was it then, and has it been?
Well, I see, you know, when you sit there at that moment of the encounter, it, in a small way, it was a bit like a Paul on the horse heading to Damascus. I had a direction in my life that I thought was going to bring fulfillment, but I wasn't finding that. I was finding, even though a lot of success was coming, there was an emptiness inside. And that one moment, he actually spoke audibly, the only time in my life that I've heard God speak to me that way. And in that moment, there was a holy terror that came. It caused me to run for the Bible and start reading. And as soon as I opened the pages of his word, it was like lightning bolts flying off the pages, that somehow inside of me, I knew every word was true, but yet didn't know who he was yet. And within one day, people that I had already been associated with started offering to bring me to Bible studies and offered to pray, and people that had never said anything to me about Jesus up till that moment. So it was quite shocking. He speaks, then they start speaking, and various things began to happen. But God sent me a pastor who was a founder of a biblical seminary in that region, and gave me about 2 years worth of Bible school, in a sense. And then others began to come around, and it just was a beautiful and amazing thing that God did, allowing me to continue in the journey I was on in medicine, yet, in a sense, going to Bible school with people that were in my workday environment. So that's how it happened. But not until the spring of the next year, I was at the first Promise Keepers at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. And it was an amazing moment of, 60,000-70,000 men together in that stadium, singing, crying out. And then, of course, an altar call came at one point in that. And that's really the first time in my life that I clearly, fully understood what God was doing. And I went forward that day, and that sort of sealed the deal, even though obviously he'd been working in me up till then.
Now, how did your relationship with Christ, as you got to know him in a personal way, how did that experience change your perspective of medicine?
Well, in the beginning, we were still deeply involved in that. It was a medical assistance project, and it was unique to our county and had waivers from both state and federal government to do it.
Was this at the county prison?
No, this was the what was called at that time the Lancaster Community Health Plan. It was a unique program for the Medicaid, which is the underserved that are in the community. They get assistance from the government for their health care insurance. Mm-hmm. Here you would, in Hawaii, they call it the Quest program. Anyway, we reorganized that and more than tripled the participation of physicians in taking those clients in their practices. And in that time, God began to just really work in my heart to show me that so much of what had happened in the healthcare system was it lost its spiritual roots. The churches were the formers of the original hospitals, and many of the healthcare systems were built by various church-related organizations. But when insurance and government payers took over, little by little, it lost its way into a place where it was actually difficult for physicians and other providers to mention the name of Jesus with their patients. And he began to show me in various ways that he wishes that I could be part of helping to restore his place in the healthcare system. And that had to do with sometimes you can be in a hyper-faith movement where the only useful healing is supernatural and through prayer. But then you can have others who are Christian who don't really accept that exists anymore for today. So what he began to show me is that balance between both of them coming together was a new way of seeing healthcare. And many others were already thinking and doing things like that, like Dr. Daniel Fountain's book on faith and miracles, on healing and miracles. So it was just a beginning for me to realize that that's what he was looking for, a health system that gives him first place.
Mm. A health system that gives Christ first place. You're listening to Dr. Robert Doe. Dr. Doe has recently made a connection or been given a connection with the Prime Minister and a new medical school in Erbil, Iraq. He's been led to offer to set up an academic hospital and clinics for the University of Kurdistan. When we come back from our break, more from Dr. Robert Doe, a man who trained in the Ivy Leagues, trained at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, both his college and medical school, and has been on the Northeast for some time in emergency in the ER. Dr. Doe has also developed new healthcare plans on a pioneering end of it when it comes to not just spirituality, more specifically, Christ-centered healthcare, or we should say Christocentric healthcare. When we come back, more from Dr. Doe. Healthcare, you, me, us, Christ cares about all of this, not only for us, but the world. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Modern Western medicine is based primarily on a scientific model that carries a worldview that health is physical. It's a physical and biochemical condition. However, a biblical understanding of health requires a more holistic approach in that the body, soul, and spirit are integrated. And illness can be rooted in disorder in any of these three areas. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Dr. Robert Doe. You can find out more about Dr. Doe and at transformationhealth.net. He'll talk about the Aloha Kona Urgent Care and the Iraq Clinic. You can find out more. Hey, maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And because it's free, hey, share it with a family member or friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dr. Doe, when did you begin to develop a passion for the healing of people groups and nations?
Well, thank you again for having me. What began to happen, I had mentioned in the first section about the experience I had at RFK Stadium with the Promise Keepers in 1993. And that triggered a passion for getting churches and pastors and spiritual leaders of our city of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, working together. And in that process, there was an amazing coming together, but there were some missing things that in the end kind of made it hard to do more than pray together or have a joint service together. There just was a difficulty in getting people to go beyond and into releasing ministry together, kingdom expressions together. And about the time that God took me into the prison to be the medical director, took me out of emergency medicine and into the prison setting of the county prison there, two things happened. One was just suddenly recognizing spiritual patterns in the lives of the inmates that, if not addressed, would not give hope to see them turned around and fully healed. And they would cycle back and forth in and out because the basic root issues were spiritual, social, and emotional, much more so than physical. So he began to show me that at that time. But at the second point, at that same time that was happening, I had done research about our county and the history of it. I was never much of a historian until God got a hold of me. And I began to see stories of things that God had tried to do in the past that had broken down, relationships with First Nations leaders, relationships with Mennonite peoples and Quaker peoples and all these different historical groups that came together. And I began to have a thought that some of that needed to be healed and repented for by the current church if we were to be able to move forward together. And in the middle of that, I made a trip to Europe with my then pastor. He wanted to do like a second honeymoon with his wife. So we took him to Europe, showed him around, and ended up in France on 9/11 as the towers came down. And God used that to speak to me to come back and pray for those nations a year later. And in that time, a year later, I had no friends over there. I didn't know anybody. Nobody was willing to travel with me, so I went alone. And at the last second, some people from Germany ran into me at a conference and gave me some contact names, and one of them turned out to be in Switzerland, a group called the Schleife, Stiftung Schleife, which is a very large Reformed Church offshoot. And I ended up encountering them, and long story being short, the leader of that ministry found out I was from Pennsylvania, from Lancaster, and they had been looking for Mennonite leadership, bishops in particular from the Mennonite Church, to come to a healing conference between the Reformed Church of Switzerland and the Mennonites, who they had horribly persecuted in the past. And I ended up being the link that brought those people to Switzerland in the year 2003. And a huge conference of several thousand people worked through the dialogue, the repentance, the forgiveness, the healing of that past story. And that's began the process of God showing me how dealing with old hurts, old wounds, old things helps to bring people groups together today.
Hmm. How did you connect with Lauren Cunningham of Youth with a Mission to establish the Aloha Clinic in Kona?
In that time, about 2005, I ended up connecting with Iraq. And again, just an exploring thing, it ended up being an opportunity to work with the Kurdish government. And some friends of mine in Pennsylvania were working with Youth with a Mission at that time. And so they volunteered to accompany me on a couple of those trips in those early years. And then we built a relationship, and they began to take me to some of the YWAM bases like Lausanne, Switzerland. And then that particular individual that was working out of Coatesville, Pennsylvania at the time ended up moving here to Kona. And then YWAM developed just about that time in 2012 a discipleship training program for medical professionals. So you can imagine the pressure started coming from all YWAM friends saying, oh, this is for you. You need to come here to Hawaii. And so much prayer and a lot of supernatural things had to happen before I actually showed up here as a student in the year 2013. And in the middle of that class, which was 3 months here and then 2 months on outreach to Iraq, they shared their story. The leaders of the healthcare and counseling school shared their story of having tried to develop a new medical model, whole person care model here in Kona, and how frustrations had come in and it had never been achieved. And in that moment, I knew that I was being asked by God to take on that project and try to bring it to conclusion. So that led me to have to meet with Lauren Cunningham. And after that, his passion to see that project resurrect, so to speak, caused him to stay involved. And he's been a very integral part of helping us develop this clinic over here.
So now, Kona and Kurdistan, they seem like such extreme locations, but are you working with the same model in both places, or how are they modified if they are?
No, actually, we're working in the same way. God has strange and unique ways of making opportunities. The concept of Iraq was on a trip where I went both to Israel and to Iraq. And through that connection and the recognition that we could go back and actually do something long-term with the Kurds, there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 19 that talks about Israel, Egypt, and Assyria being one together at the end of the story. And so that's kind of like the epicenter of where the gospel began. The kingdom of God is to someday be established more you know, specifically, naturally. Those three areas, from the Nile to the Euphrates, is the territory that Israel was involved with. So there's a uniqueness in that Israel and that those other two parts that belong together with Israel, it says, are connected to sending, it says, the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, guess what? Hawaii is the uttermost parts of the earth. And so this connection between the uttermost and the epicenter where it began is what draws those two together, I believe, in God's heart. And as an affirmation, I got involved a lot with First Nations peoples and with islanders from the Pacific. And just about a month ago, was a culmination of many, many years of prayer, where 800 of the Pacific Islanders went and were hosted by the 12 messianic leaders of Israel, and a conference was held just a month ago, bringing the gospel from the uttermost parts back to where it began. So that's how I see those two connecting.
What does it look like, the Iraq Clinic, if someone were to visit, what would they see?
It's not in existence yet. This is a development project right now. So what happened was, for many years we were attempting to do such a clinic in Duhok. Now, we would run clinics when we were there. We'd assist their clinics, but we never were able to develop our own. As you can imagine, it's a somewhat unstable political environment, especially when ISIS hit about 3 years ago. But about a year and a half ago, after some disappointment, we ended up being led to be connected through some missions groups with a physician from Kurdish background, who had been living in Norway for most of his career and had been retained by the prime minister to come and start this new medical school. And when we met him, we discerned that he was someone who was open to the Christ-centric approach. And we brought him to Hawaii to introduce him to leadership here. And he went back and began to have dialogue with his people there about allowing for his medical school to express prayer and healing and Christian principles in the way they would do it. So since that time, a year and a half ago, there's been several physicians and their families and dentists that have moved there. So they're in the process right now of building up those clinics where they would be naturally good medical clinics with American expertise working together with Kurdish doctors and providers, but also allowing us to pray in the name of Jesus for the healing and blessing and peace of the people that come in. Mm-hmm. So that's the basic concept, but I don't want to pretend that it's finished yet.
Okay. The Iraq Clinic. You can find out more about the work of Dr. Doe at transformationhealth.net. In response to the need in the Kurdish region of northern Iraq, medical professionals with Transformation Health Network are providing whole person care, as you've heard him explain, to the people of the area, and are in the process of establishing a full-time urgent care primary care clinic in the region. Again, transformationhealth.net. When we come back from our break, more from Dr. Robert Doe. In addition to medical work, he's been involved in ministries in places like Nicaragua, Haiti, Switzerland, and France. Dr. Doe, a heart of sensitivity to the leading of God's Spirit. He comes to a discipleship training school after years of a plethora of experiences and production and care and output. And the Lord speaks to him, and there's a turning point in his life. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
One of my mentors once told me, Danny, where there is a need, there's a call. And there's a need in Iraq and a need in Kona. And, some people are driven by that. And God has placed a special grace on Dr. Robert Doe to do just that, to meet a need. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Dr. Robert Doe, my guest today. Thanks for joining with us. I believe the Lord has a blessing for you, a gift for you through the message that you'll receive through the stories, through the testimony of Dr. Doe. Find out more about his work at transformationhealth.net. And get this program and share it with a family member or a friend at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dr. Doe, how did God use you to bring intercessory support to the French church through Target Europe and La Brie Church?
Well, I had mentioned earlier that I was in that conference in Winterthur, Switzerland, near Zurich, where the reconciliation between Mennonite historical stories and current Mennonite leaders with the Reformed church leaders there in that country. And I'd also mentioned that I had nobody to make contact with the year before that when I went to Europe for the first time to pray over those nations. But at the last second, some phone numbers had been given to me, some contact names, one of which was that Switzerland connection. There was a second one that had to do with a well-known leader known as a prophetic voice in France. So I felt an urge to go back and to try to meet with this gentleman the following fall. And we ended up getting accepted to go visit him in Nice, France. And some strange things happened between the time we left the airport and got to Nice, just some you might say, little signs in the environment that something unique was about to happen related to intercession and prayer. And I was traveling with a young disciple of mine, a Hispanic background, a young man. When we got there, the gentleman took us to some high places, mountaintops overlooking the Riviera, had us to do some prayer there. And when he observed what we were doing and how we fit into that, he looked at me and said, well, I'd like you to find some others like this young man that's with you and come next year to Target Europe and join with the French intercessors and your intercessors together and be the undergirding for this European-wide conference called Target Europe. So that's how it happened. Just, again, following a nudge of the Spirit, going and then making the connection, and then suddenly we're bringing five young Hispanic men to France a year later and working side by side for a whole week with the French intercessors and building relationships that have, borne fruit of continued connectivity ever since.
When we talk about a work of reconciliation and healing. Take us further. Describe what you saw and what you felt when you saw a reconciliation actually taking place.
Well, first of all, it was a surprisingly large conference. There were a couple thousand people, about half of them from what are called Anabaptist backgrounds. That included actual Amish leaders as well as Mennonites and other offshoots of that Anabaptist movement. And it was a lot of just sharing their stories of hurt, asking forgiveness, repenting, et cetera, back and forth. And one of the most amazing things that really just showed the intensity and the reality of what was happening was the Saturday night of that week was the finale, so to speak, where the last exchanges took place. And then following that, the next Sunday morning is kind of like a celebration. And you don't often see Amish dancing, waving flags and all that sort of stuff. But there was just such a joy and an exuberance that broke out that next morning. And I left the conference to go visit one of my wife's cousins who lives in Basel, Switzerland. And when I got there, he was waiting for me with a little bit of a curiosity with a newspaper article that he handed me. And it was the story of the old man of the mountain, of the White Mountains of New Hampshire, falling down off the face of the mountain at exactly the same time, Saturday evening, when that final reconciliation and healing took place. So here's the symbol of New Hampshire. The old man of the mountain, you see it on the quarter, you saw it on their flag, Dartmouth College, I knew it well, on top of Cannon Mountain in the what's called the presidential range of New Hampshire, falls down after millions of years and collapses. And the declaration the next morning of the governor of New Hampshire was, a new foundation has been laid. And that area is known as the Little Switzerland of America. And the first Mennonite conference in America was called Franconia, the same name as that ridge. So just too many, what do you say, you can't make things like that up?
Mm-hmm.
That God was just showing how it's important to him when we reconcile things of the past and bring it into the present and bring healing. He even lets us see in the natural things that confirm that it was valid and important to him.
When did you begin work with indigenous tribal leaders in the U.S. and Pacific Islands?
Well, the trip to Switzerland, I was in the car going to the airport when a random call came from a pastor in the area. Never met him in my life, but he'd heard that I had an interest in First Nations reconciliation and healing. So he called me and said, I'm calling you because I've heard this about you. I'd like to get together and talk about it. And I said, are you saying that you think it's time that we do something? So what happened was when I got back from Switzerland, I met with him. I'm assuming he knew First Nations leaders that we could have these exchanges with, but he didn't. And none of us did, actually, at that time. But I suddenly remembered the leader of the rescue mission in town, a Christian rescue mission, had mentioned to me that he'd been in South Africa at an intercessory prayer meeting and met a so-called First Nations prayer leader. And I went to him and said, do you still have his phone number or anything? And he was able to find it. Turned out he was an Iroquois, and he was already involved in what he called healing prayer for land and for regions and for people groups. And within a short time that fall, we had six Native American leaders, all Christian, all from the Iroquois tribe, came to Lancaster and had 3 days of prayer, releasing blessing over the churches, meeting with pastors and releasing them and blessing them. So that's kind of how it all began. But there's this question, when you do repentance and reconciliation, there's one more R that people are afraid to ask, and it's called restitution.
Hmm.
And so there was this fear in my heart. If we do this thing with these First Nations leaders, do they expect their land back? What do you do with that? And I was waiting for the shoe to fall when I asked the question, and what they told me was this, that never in my wildest dreams did I expect this. They said, restitution looks like being honored again by the body of Christ, being given our place in the body of Christ, and walking side by side into the great harvest. So I had to commit at that time to always walking with them ever since. And then that translated to, when I got to Hawaii, connecting immediately with indigenous island leadership here and then also bringing those leaders from the East Coast here and intersecting them to show some stories about what we've done on the East Coast. So that's how I got involved in that story.
I'm wondering if it ever has come up where now you have these Christian Iroquois and there's reconciliation taking place, but did it ever come up where they or others have associated, of course, Christianity as the white man's religion and the antagonism that has grown through the years in association with Christianity and land being taken away or families being harmed?
Absolutely. And one more piece to that is what's known as the boarding schools that were used to, quote-unquote, reacculturize First Nations people, especially their children. And that first one started in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and then went all over the North Americas. So, yes, that is probably the most tragic story, and it's just as much a tragic story in Hawaii, of how missionaries came, how they brought the gospel, how the indigenous peoples received it, how it changed their culture, how they became literate, how they developed industry, how they, et cetera, and even to the point of Kamehameha III's Christian constitution and the declaration, you know, that the land is perpetuated with righteousness, all these things. But only such a short time later, 40 years later, the third generation missionaries, who were probably no longer missionaries but business people, stole the land and put the queen in jail. And that story repeats itself all across the Americas. That's why my fear was, if the word restitution came up, what would it look like? Give us our land back? All you Europeans go home? But that wasn't the answer. The answer is the gospel is a gift that they saw as a gift. But the distortion of that gospel into a business model and greed took away the majority of those people's ability to see it anymore. It shut their eyes to the gospel. And so the only hope again is this coming together of Christian Native leaders and the church, supporting the development of working together and bringing that healing forth. That's pretty much what they've been asking for since.
Dr. Robert Doe sharing from his heart and his life of how the Lord is bringing forth healing, reconciliation through the ministry that he is a part of, a significant part of as a leader at transformationhealth.net. That's how you can find out more about him and his work. Hey, you know, the Lord, our God, helps us. He helps us in those trying times, those difficult times. I don't know about you, but hey, there are moments, aren't there, huh, when we go through times we just could not have expected or imagined. They often come in times of shock. They are earth-shattering to our lives. Difficult moments. When we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit about how the Lord is worked in Dr. Doe's life in some challenging times. Maybe even hear a favorite scripture that he has. I think it'll relate to you and your point of need in a very unique and special way. From the Lord to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinanan Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Hey, partnerships are vital to the ministry, the work that is being done by Transformation Health Network. And I want to encourage you to pray about partnering with them in the work that they're doing, to develop these model clinics. They're working with a very limited capital and manpower. So go to the transformationhealth.net and pray and read and find out more about what they're doing. Aloha Kona Urgent Care. They've got 4 physicians, 4 nurses, 4 clerks, and 1 administrator. And they're providing care to the underserviced at the Kailua Kona area. In the Kurdish region in northern Iraq, there is need for medical professionals joining the work to see that proper care is provided to the people of the area. Again, check this out. Look at it prayerfully at transformationhealth.net and how the Lord may be leading you to partner with them. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Dr. Robert Doe. Dr. Doe, how has the Lord helped you, more on a personal note, through difficult times?
Well, first of all, Danny, as I shared at the beginning before we started, I had looked through your testimony and I saw how you went through one of those same stories at the beginning of God's beginning to turn on your life for him. So all of us have those moments, and unfortunately we sometimes think they're done at the beginning, and then we won't have to see them again. But it seems like at different times in our lives we do go through those moments, and sometimes we wonder why, because we were doing things the way we thought we were supposed to, and everything was actually being led by the Lord, and yet these things come our way. One of those for me was back in 2006 and 2007, that was now about maybe 8-9 years of working inside the county prison. We had this incredible opportunity to develop a Christian-based mental health healing program that actually was being observed and monitored to see what kind of outcomes that it would have in comparison to ordinary care. And it was just shocking how God moved. Almost immediately after we did that First Nations healing prayer, cost for medications, the need for medications began to plummet among the inmates. And so for a number of years, there was this amazing ability to pray for healing, share scriptures. People were getting saved as part of the medical practice. There was deliverance happening in different areas of their lives, which is very simple things, not something real difficult. We had pastors coming in and working alongside of the patients that chose the Christian mental health program. And it seemed like this was the future. This was going to be the way God was going to use my life, and I was going to multiply this model and go to other prisons and make the difference. And then things happened, and politics shifted in those years, and there were those that were not so keen on a physician who shared scriptures and prayed for people. And in the end result, without getting into all the details, it ended with no warning, actually, on the 31st of October 2007, one day before I was leaving for Iraq to go on my next trip, spending 6 weeks over there at that time. That was my only income. I had given away my retirement. I'd given away my savings, so I had nothing in reserve. So suddenly, no job, leaving for 6 weeks. And then all kinds of other things that were intertwined with that story. I have to say that the most important thing God did to help me at that time was to take me to Iraq, because it would have been harder, I think, to stay there, looking at it day by day, seeing it day by day. So he had grace for me to remove me from that moment and allow me to continue to minister for him, even in that moment of disappointment. And many years went by after that where we had some political favor at the state level that ended up not yielding the fruit that we had hoped. And it was probably at the end of that story that that God began to stir me about coming here to Hawaii. So in that, the most important thing for me was just always having other people that were holding me accountable, people around me from the church, as well as other outlets to continue to serve God. And then, of course, just his grace over that whole thing. And the scripture that kept coming back to me was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, I don't want you to be unawares, my brothers, of the troubles that we went through in Asia, where it even felt like a sentence of death was upon us. But even this was so that we would no longer trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises from the dead.
How did your wife Sylvia and your daughters go through that time with you?
And it's a funny story as well as a beautiful story. And my wife, through all of this, has been so gracious to me to allow me to make these what to others would be insane and crazy decisions about the things I choose to do and places I choose to go. And she's been right there with me. She's been to Iraq twice, along with my currently 16-year-old daughter that I still have. And in all of that, never sensed anything but support. Even in the financial issues when I came back from Iraq, after that loss of job, there wasn't a job right away. And God began to show me other ways he would take care of me and had me actually begin to write a book that's never been published about the things that we've just talked about, those stories about reconciliation and so forth. And my wife, one day, about a year and a half into that, where I would get a job for a little while doing locum tenens and then stop and write some more and so forth, thinking that I was going to be a full-time missionary from then on and never go back into healthcare except as a missionary. And suddenly one day, it wasn't going so well. The donations weren't coming the way I thought God would provide. And one day my wife looks at me and says, hey, did you see the article in the newspaper about Lancaster General Hospital opening in urgent care? I said, yeah, that's nice. What about it? She says, that's for you, she said. I said, come on. I don't want to go back and do that stuff anymore. No, I know that's for you. Now go check it out. So she was very directed. Mm-hmm. I can only remember taking the job. And because of my reputation at the prison, I actually had to tell the boss that I promised not to share Jesus or pray with anybody if I got the job. Hmm. So it was like everything inside of me was screaming. I'm basically denying Jesus in this thing. Hmm. But I took the job, and I hated it. In a sense, I was not happy with myself. And I remember about a week or two into it, sort of grumbling and complaining, but making money finally, a phone call came from one of my intercessor friends, and he said, I don't know, but your name came in prayer this morning, and I just felt I'm supposed to call you and tell you you're doing what you're supposed to do. And that was it. That settled the issue. I I accepted that lot in life, and then for the next 6 years did that, and then came to YWAM. And the end result of that is it taught me how to develop an urgent care. It taught me the business models. It provided finances that grounded me enough that I could afford to come to YWAM, and not only that year, but the following year as a staff member. So it was obviously God the whole way, but it didn't fit my model of the boldness and evangelistic style that I like to use in my healthcare. And so it's funny how my wife was the most key person in all that, one supporting me, but when the time came, challenging me to take another step in a different direction than what I might have wanted to do.
Robert, we have about a minute left. You lead in a prayer for someone right now who's going through a tough time.
Yeah, just reflect back on that scripture that I mentioned from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. There's so much of our journey that has to do with dying so that his resurrection power can be seen. So I just pray that what you may be feeling is almost like a sentence of death, or like, this doesn't seem fair. I've done all that you asked me to, God, but yet, this is what I'm getting. I just pray right now that you can grasp that scripture and what comes right after. It says, and this was so that the comfort that we've received from him in our affliction can be used to comfort you in your affliction. So I pray right now the comfort that God is giving to me in these stories and even in things that I'm going through now, I speak comfort over you so that you can make it through to the other side, still smiling in joy in the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Robert Doe, sharing heart to heart with you, dear friend, praying for you, and I believe, we believe together, not only does the Lord hear our prayers, but he's the God who answers our prayers. And as you've prayed with him, in spite of how you may feel, you're able to put things together. Sometimes, instead of grabbing hold of our circumstance, we need to release it to God. And sometimes we need to realize we just can't hold on. And perhaps that's the type of death, as it were, where God can come in and bring about a resurrection. Dr. Doe, thanks. Thanks for being with us today. I appreciate your time sharing heart to heart with us. Heartfelt words from Dr. Robert Doe. You can find out more at transformationhealth.net. God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehoy.com, click Get to Know Jesus. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com, click Partners. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto him with psalms. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Robert Doe, again, transformationhealth.net. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, and Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.